Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Authorities aren't saying yet whether they will pursue hate crime charges against the gunman suspected of killing five people in an LGBTQ nightclub Saturday. But they have confirmed the identities of the people who died. Colorado Public Radio's Alejandro Alonso Galva has been following the case and says two patrons who subdued the 22-year-old suspected gunman are being hailed as heroes.
Richard M. Fierro, he was identified by the New York Times originally. He's the man who is credited with actually, in his words, kind of going into warrior mode and subduing the gunman, taking the long rifle away from the gunman and actually using it against him, physically pushing him to the ground. And then Thomas James was also identified as someone who jumped in and tried to help stop the tragedy from continuing.
Law enforcement officials say the suspected gunman used an AR-15-style assault weapon. They're still trying to figure out whether he purchased it legally. On the heels of the shooting incident, Colorado gay rights activists say attacks against the community are all too common. Lucas Brady Woods of member station KUNC reports the attack comes at a time anti-LGBTQ rhetoric from politicians has also been on the rise.
Republican candidates across the country embraced anti-LGBTQ misinformation in this year's midterm elections. Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert has falsely and repeatedly accused LGBTQ people of, quote, grooming children. Colorado's first openly transgender lawmaker, Brianna Titone, says this kind of rhetoric has consequences.
They're just fueling the fire on these issues, which, you know, makes somebody with a gun want to do something. And that's a dangerous combination.
The shooting over the weekend at a Colorado Springs LGBTQ nightclub killed five people and injured more than a dozen others. For NPR News, I'm Lucas Brady Woods.
Coast Guard crews battled heavy weather today to rescue migrants from an overloaded boat that ran aground off the Florida Keys. NPR's Greg Allen reports children and infants are among the hundreds of migrants believed to be from Haiti.
The overloaded vessel hit a sandbar as it approached the Florida Keys in an area where migrants from Haiti have previously landed. Coast Guard crews responded, battling 25-mile-per-hour winds and 6 to 10-foot seas to remove people from the vessel. Among the first rescued were several young children. Coast Guard Petty Officer Nicole Grohl.
The weather has been severe, and we've been battling the weather conditions to try to safely get people off the unsafe and overloaded vessel.
The Miami Herald is reporting that 237 Haitian migrants were aboard the vessel. Haiti is gripped in a humanitarian and political crisis, as well as an outbreak of cholera. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
Stocks lost ground at the start of a holiday shortened trading week. The Dow down 45 points. The Nasdaq fell 121 points today. You're listening to NPR. The major railroads can't agree on which of the 12 unions on contracts. The ultimate losers could be U.S. consumers, who almost immediately could be seeing a shortage of everything from gasoline to groceries. Today, two of the biggest unions voted to reject a proposed contract deal. That follows decisions with three other unions to also reject their agreements. The Biden administration has originally hoped to broker a deal between the railroads and all the unions. Seven other smaller unions have approved a five-year deal that would include 24% raises and $5,000 bonuses. A massive publishing industry merger between Penguin Random House and Simon & Schuster will not be going forward, at least anytime soon. NPR's Chloe Veltman says the decision prevents even more consolidation in an industry that currently only has a handful of major players.
Random House had planned to appeal the federal judge's ruling to block the sale on the basis that it would thwart competition and harm writers. But Simon & Schuster's parent company, Paramount Global, decided to drop the deal. Authors Guild Chief Executive Mary Rasenberger says she's relieved.
After decades of mergers and acquisitions in the industry, there are already too few big publishers now who have the resources to invest in authors.
Penguin Random House issued a statement refuting the judge's ruling. The company must now pay a $200 million termination fee to Paramount. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.
A 1-1 draw at the World Cup between the U.S. and Wales men's teams today in Qatar. Gareth Bale converting a penalty kick in the 82nd minute to offset Tim Weah's first-half goal. The U.S. is back in the World Cup after missing the 2018 tournament. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.